A new book explores the life of modern-day Daniel Boone and finds a lot of complications in his desire to live as simply and plainly as he can. NPR's Alex Chadwick reports.
The book is The Last American Man. It tells the story, so far, of a man named Eustace Conway who lives in the woods in North Carolina. The author is Elizabeth Gilbert, a very hip writer living in New York. This is how she introduces us to him.
By the time Eustace Conway was 7 years old, he could throw a knife accurately enough to nail a chipmunk to a tree. By the time he was 10, he could hit a running squirrel at 50 feet with a bow and arrow. When he turned 12, he went out into the woods alone and empty-handed, built himself a shelter, and survived off the land for a week. When he turned 17, he moved out of his family's home altogether and headed into the mountains, where he lived in a teepee of his own design, made fire by rubbing two sticks together, bathed in icy streams, and dressed in the skins of the animals he had hunted and eaten.
He sounds made up, but he is completely real. A man now in his early 40s who lives on a 1,000-acre nature reserve that he's created. He makes and does almost everything he needs. He also thinks he is a model for the rest of us, a man of destiny who will show others how to pursue simple pleasures, even though they're not so simple sometimes. Elizabeth Gilbert first did an article about Eustace for GQ magazine, where she's been writer-at-large for 4 years.
I call him the CEO of the woods, or the world's most public hermit. I mean, this is the contradiction inherent in Eustace Conway that makes him endlessly fascinating to me, that he is at once a person who you could drop into the middle of the Alaskan wilderness naked with maybe a knife, maybe not. Within a month, he'd have a great house, and he'd be well-fed, and he'd probably have a community of followers who had found him up there. He's extraordinary. He can live on nothing. His skills in the wilderness are legion. On the other hand, he's in public constantly, teaching, trying to get us to change our lives, trying to get us to follow him into the woods. So he's at once, somebody who doesn't need anyone, and on the other hand, can't seem to stay out of the public eye.
You call Eustace Conway in the title of your book The Last American Man. What do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean is that he's the last example that I can find of somebody whose life is beyond any sort of ironic self-reflection. Everything that he does is literal. You know, we have this kind of idea of American masculinity and manhood that's built up on these 19th century ideals about the frontier and about being a pioneer and a cowboy and standing tall in the saddle and mending fences and striking a claim. We still use that vocabulary in American culture. But with Eustace Conway, when you use that vocabulary, it's literal. You know, he really is sitting tall in the saddle. He really is keeping his powder dry. He really is mending fences. He really is striking a claim. He's out there actually doing this stuff that is now been reduced to just a kind of reflection that we all try to imitate in our modern lives. And, I remember one time I was with Eustace and he was showing me how he works in his blacksmith shop, and he had all these irons in the fire and he was talking to me and trying to explain how it worked, and he got distracted. And then he said, "Oh, damn, I'm ruining this because I have too many irons in my fire." You know, and this is what it's like to be with Eustace. It's like being with somebody from a different time.
You know, Ms. Gilbert, a number of American women that I've known over the last many years, I think would respond to your title, The Last American Man, with a kind of a hurrah and good riddance, especially if they knew anything about Eustace. American women, they don't like this kind of American man.
This is a big complication in Eustace's life, and the reason that at 40 years old he hasn't found a wife yet. He's difficult with women, and women have a complicated relationship with him as well, because on one hand, there's something inordinately attractive about this guy. You know, he's so strong, so heroic, and that's very, very, very alluring. On the other hand, what comes with that are 19th century values, and he falls very in love with these kind of strong, powerful women, but then forgets that they went to college and that they have intellects and they have opinions, and a steady stream of women come pouring through Eustace's empire, falling in love with him and then leaving, not because they don't want to wash their hair in the creek. They've got no trouble with that. It's when they realize that they're not allowed to have an opinion that they kind of slip out the back door. I don't know if I'm heralding him as something that we should all try to be. I think by the end of the book, you might get the idea of, yep, he is the last American man, and maybe that's not such a bad thing.
Well, if I may say, for a young American woman writer, you seem unusually sympathetic to men.
I like men. I like men. I write about men. I'm fascinated by men. I have worked at GQ now for about 4 years, and I especially am interested in American men for some reason, and always seem to go back to trying to decode them. And I think that's partially what drew me to Eustace, is that I feel almost like he's a Rosetta Stone. His masculinity is so intense and so unabashed that I think you can kind of translate more modern men against him and sort of come away with a better understanding of how we got here.
Elizabeth Gilbert's book about Eustace Conway, The Last American Man, is published by Viking. This is Alex Chadwick, NPR News.